Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, by the way, have we all completed our project of sending our five favorite songs to Funch to use as rejoin music?
I completed another project that I was assigned, but not that one.
Lindsay?
I haven't. I'll do it today, I promise.
Yeah, I also have not. Funch, have you put your five in?
Not yet. I was waiting for you guys.
Wait a minute. You didn't complete your own project?
No.
Even you haven't done it.
I mean, it was Memorial Day weekend.
It's easily, I can do it easily.
Okay. Well, make sure you do it.
Matthew's on the line, guys.
I'm tired of hearing the same songs. All right.
Go ahead.
Joining us right now is the king of all fantasy sports. He is the talented Mr. Roto. His column is among the most read columns on ESPN. He's on TV. He's on radio. He's online. He's everywhere. And he joins us now, Matthew Berry. Matthew, how are you, man?
I'm good, Steve. How are you, my friend?
Everything is all right.
Matthew, this is a time in our history where I'm sure you've been telling your kids what I've been telling my son, that this is probably the first thing that's happened to them that they'll all remember collectively for the rest of their lives. What has it meant in the fantasy world? I mean, fantasy is what we associate with fun, with games. It's kind of the toy store of ESPN. What's it been like for you?
For me, weirdly, look, I mean, first off, I'm just, you know, I'm grateful to be safe and healthy. You know, I feel very blessed just to be there and, you know, and the family is as well. And so, but in terms of fantasy football, it's weirdly meant that I've been busier than ever, you know, with the NBA and NHL and MLB canceled. There hasn't been a ton, as I'm sure you guys have found, there's been a ton to talk about sports-wise, other than the NFL. Like, I focus primarily these days on fantasy football. So, you know, fantasy baseball-wise, there's just been no season so far. But fantasy football-wise, whether it's the free agency, and obviously a lot of big names move teams, and then the NFL draft, there's been lots to talk about. So I've actually done, you know, normally this is a pretty quiet time for me, but we've done, like, multiple podcasts. I've written multiple columns. We've done two different episodes of the fantasy show on ESPN+. I've done like eight different podcasts. It's on ESPN. Like, so it's there's been a tremendous demand for content around fantasy football because people are you know, we just don't have a ton to talk about.
Yeah, and you know, football was really smart in that they stuck to their schedule. I mean, they did everything that they would normally do. Yeah. They went through free agent season. They went through the draft. They went through the schedule announcement. I mean, they've stayed on course all along, where everybody else had to interrupt with their normal stuff. Football has been able to stay on its normal clock, right?
Yeah, they really have. And obviously the timing of when all of this happened has worked in football's favor. You know, I mean, I thought the draft was an incredible accomplishment in terms of how they pulled it off, just the NFL and also broadcasting. You know, my colleagues at ESPN along with the NFL Network, I thought they all did a great job. And so, but they've been able to, you know, the timing of the sports calendar has worked in their favor to the extent that anything in this, you know, a pandemic has worked. But so we will see what happens. But you know, so far it appears as if, you know, obviously there'll be some changes, you know, fans in the stands or lack thereof, but it appears so far that the NFL will have a season this year and start on time. At least that's the current thinking.
Matthew, normally when you take something away, people find other things to do. They go out and develop other hobbies or other interests. People that play fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball, do you think they pick right up where they left off if these seasons resume, or is there going to be a noticeable drop off in those arenas for people like you?
I think it's a situation that'll depend on sort of what happens, right? So, you know, in terms of the NBA, like, I'm in a fantasy basketball league, and we've just sort of said, hey, the guy that was in first place when it all shut down, why don't we? He wins. We should just, we all give him the money. You know what I mean? But like, baseball hasn't started yet. So I think that, for people that have drafted, whenever their season resumes, great, you've got a team drafted. And if once we know what is happening exactly with Major League Baseball, I'm sure there'll be some fantasy drafts as well. You know, the other challenge, obviously, is, again, the sports calendar is all messed up. And so I think there'll be some casual fans that play fantasy baseball in the spring but aren't going to want to have it compete with fantasy football. And the same with NBA. So I think there'll be some attrition there. Having said that, what we have found, listen, I can't tell you how many texts I got from people saying, like, I need a cheat sheet for KBO baseball. What do you got? Like, I mean, like, you know, people playing DFS, KBO, and iRacing. And so, you know, there, as I've said, and I've said this to you guys on this show many, many times, like, if you can figure out a way to keep score, there's a way to play a fantasy version of it, and the people will play fantasy.
Are you ready for the NBA playoffs? You're a huge Lakers fan. Are you ready for the NBA playoffs?
Obviously, I am. And, you know, I think this is our year. And so, you know, aside from the, you know, just obviously what it would mean economically, what it means worldwide, health-wise, just, you know, from a pure fan standpoint, I want the season to resume just because I think we got as good a shot as any, obviously. And so, and honestly, you know, just the wear and tear on their on the bodies of some of the Lakers getting this long of a rest. You know, we'll see how it plays out. But yes, I'm very excited as a Lakers fan to see the season resume. I'm excited as a sports fan, you know, that's been stuck in his house quarantined for a long time. I'm excited for any sports, but especially the NBA to resume, and especially my Lakers.
We're talking to Matthew Berry from ESPN's Fantasy World. Matthew has been our fantasy guy for 20-plus years. Okay, because it's a great diversion, let me ask you some basic fantasy questions. Are Brady and Gronk going to be like the hot go early in the draft picks, or is that fool's gold?
I think somewhere in the middle. I don't think they're going to go early in the draft, but I also don't think they're fool's gold. So I have Tom Brady as a top 10 quarterback. I have Gronk as a top 10 tight end. Now, do I have them as top three guys that they have been previously in their careers? I don't. But I think Brady especially, I think Brady has a big year. And I think Gronk will be a top 10 tight end. You think about the last time we saw Rob Gronkowski. So in 2018, only 3 touchdowns that season. Missed some time. Like, it was one of the worst fantasy seasons of Gronk's career. It looked like Gronk, right? And yet still, in 2018, he was a top 10 fantasy tight end. It doesn't take a lot to be a top 10 fantasy tight end. And then you think about, you know, what we're sort of all going through, right? With COVID-19, like, players aren't able to, in some cases, practice together. There's going to be a shortened preseason, a shortened time together. And so when you're in the red zone, when you're in crunch time, knowing where a guy is going to be, knowing where he likes the ball, he likes it on the upper shoulder, he likes it like the lower hip, that timing, I think, is going to be crucial. And so my expectation here is that Brady's going to be looking for Gronk more often than not. Does he put up the big numbers that we've seen previously where he was like the number one tight end in fantasy? I don't think so. But like I said, I'm as a top 10 tight end. Bruce Arians' offense is very fantasy friendly. You know, Jameis Winston, everyone wants to talk about the interceptions. Jameis Winston threw 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns last year. And all due respect to Jameis Winston, he's not nearly as good as Tom Brady. So, you know, playing with Evans and Godwin and Gronk and O.J. Howard, that's the best group of pass catchers I would argue Brady has played with in his career. And it's certainly, you know, if you want to argue somebody else, then it's very close. So it's going to be a fantasy-friendly offense. It's going to be pass-first. They're not going to have a great run game. They will have a good offensive line. And, you know, I also think this is just a gut call. But you guys remember Peyton Manning's first year in Denver?
Yeah, 50 touchdown passes.
Right. So Peyton Manning, everyone, he's done. What is Elway doing? Why are you signing Manning? You know, everything like that. And so Manning not only had a monster year, obviously, at that time the best fantasy season of any quarterback in NFL history. But if you watch those games closely, when they got in close, he didn't hand it off. Like, every cheap touchdown Peyton could get, he got. I'm doing bubble screens. I'm throwing goal line fades, whatever, right? He took every cheap touchdown he could get, in addition to, obviously, I mean, he threw 50 of them, in addition to all the great ones he earned. I think Brady does something similar here.
Wow.
I think Brady there's a chip on his shoulder. He wants to prove he can do it without Belichick. He wants to prove it wasn't a mistake to leave New England. I think Brady has a monster season. He doesn't add anything with his legs, which is why I have him lower than the Lamar Jacksons, the Kyler Murrays, the Patrick Mahomes of the world, Deshaun Watson. Yeah, I think give me the over on 4,000 yards. Give me the over on 30 passing touchdowns for Tom Brady.
So, Matthew, I in my fantasy league finished last this year.
Last place, mate.
Sure.
Yeah.
It involves some tanking because I wanted the number one pick this year, and they've actually come up with a rule to prevent tanking in the future. So we call that the Mason rule. But I did get the number one pick for this year. My guess is, or my thought is, I'm going to take Christian McCaffrey. Would I be making the right choice?
Yes. I think he's, not only is he my number one player, I think he's the consensus number one player, just universally. I could give you all sorts of crazy stats about Christian McCaffrey. Here's my favorite. If Christian McCaffrey had stopped playing in week 12 of last year, he still would have been the number one player in fantasy football.
Wow.
That's how much better he was than everyone else. Number one running back, I should say.
But Matthew, can I interject? If he took, if Mace, because he was so extraordinary, if Mason took Lamar Jackson with that pick, would you call him crazy?
I would not call him crazy, but it's not a pick that I would do. You guys have weird rules and the whole thing. So I wouldn't call you crazy, but I just think the replacement level of quarterbacks, again, the position is so deep, when you guys start doing some mock drafts, which by the way, company plug, you can do mock drafts right now on ESPN.com.
Already.
You're at home, you're bored. Do a mock draft. They're free. Go to ESPN.com. Do a mock draft or on the ESPN Fantasy app. So you'll see that if you start doing mock drafts, running back talent drops off pretty quick. Wide receiver is crazy deep, and as always, quarterback is. But running back falls off pretty quickly. And so, you know, I've already done a few drafts, and with a few times that I've had the number one pick, I've taken McCaffrey every single time, whether it was a mock draft or a magazine, and I'm in a couple of dynasty leagues that had drafts this year. And so, yeah, I think McCaffrey's a no-brainer, number one.
So if you had a choice between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, what's the right pick?
I don't think you can go wrong. I have Lamar Jackson slightly ahead of Mahomes, just again because of the rushing. When you think about what Lamar Jackson did last year with a receiving core that was, you know, fairly new, I think it's pretty impressive. I mean, Lamar Jackson's coming off the best season in NFL history by a fantasy quarterback.
Huh.
But I have them right next to each other. So I don't think he can go wrong. But I think Lamar Jackson will improve even more this year as a passer. I think Marquise Brown takes another step, kind of like Miles Boykin. It's kind of a deep sleeper. Obviously, Mark Andrews is there. They've added some nice weapons in the backfield as well, J.K. Dobbins. And we'll see Justice Hill take another step. But really, so I have Lamar Jackson slightly ahead of Mahomes, but Mahomes is awesome. I mean, he's amazing. You can't mess that pick up.
Matthew Berry with us. Matthew, who's the first Patriot to get drafted in fantasy this year?
That's a great question. I'm still going to say it's Edelman, but boy, oh boy, I'm assuming PPR scoring, so I'll say Edelman. Because even if whether it's Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer or, you know, somebody that isn't on the roster right now, who knows? You know, they've denied they're in on Cam, but you never know, right? But whoever the starting quarterback is of the New England Patriots this year, they're still going to be looking for wide receivers. And so I still think Edelman leads that team in targets as long as he's healthy. But look, we don't expect the offense to be as good. You lose a guy like Tom Brady, it's going to hurt your offense. You know, Sony Michel, James White, sort of flux play at running back types, but it's a very barren kind of fantasy scene right there in England. I will say N'Keal Harry is a very interesting late round flyer for people looking to the Patriots because again, Julian Edelman, you know, in his late 30s, he's somebody that is obviously suffered injuries as well. Mohamed Sanu come up the ankle surgery. He's 32, I want to say, off the top of my head, and so. You know, the Patriots might be in rebuilding mode this year. And so N'Keal Harry, their first-round pick from last year, came on a little bit towards the end of last year. But, you know, my expectation is that, Harry takes a nice step this year.
All right, last thing for me, Matthew. You know I'm a Rams fan.
Yeah.
Jared Goff regressed last year. Where do you have my boy Jared this year in your quarterback rankings?
I think I'm a QB 20.
QB 20?
Yeah, look, I mean, first off, quarterback is really deep. Goff doesn't add anything with his legs. He did regress last year. He had a tough year. They lost Brandon Cooks, and I know you say, like, well, Brandon Cooks didn't have a huge year last year for him. He did. He didn't, but what Brandon Cooks did when he was on the field was he stretched the field, right? I mean, and so it's one less weapon for that Rams offense. Look, Higbee came on towards the end of last year, and, you know, they obviously still have Woods and my little Cooper Kupp, but I think, unfortunately, Goff, fantasy-wise, is a little bit too inconsistent. But again, I think this just sort of underscores my point about how crazy deep the quarterback position is and why I wouldn't recommend taking Lamar Jackson number one overall. It's because, like, again, I have Jared Goff at 20. Like, yeah, I don't even have Kirk Cousins in my top 20. I mean, like, you know, there are just
so you can get a quarterback, in other words.
Although Matthew, I was surprised. I read your love hate, and I was surprised that Dak Prescott was on your love list, but Aaron Rodgers was on your hate list.
Right.
So what? Just Dak, I think, has a lot of weapons and has a great offensive line. But why Rodgers on the hate list?
So Rodgers was QB 16 last year on a points per game basis. And you think, so that love hate that you read was based on the NFL draft,
right?
Players whose fantasy stock rose or fell
based on
what
the draft
did during the NFL draft.
Right.
The Packers added no weapons for a quarterback that's, you know, in his late 30s that, was outside the top 12 in fantasy quarterbacks last year. You know, like, and by the way, the Packers had a good NFL season. Like, if you're Matt LaFleur, you're like, We were a game away from the Super Bowl. Like, why are we going to change what we did? Like, we ran the ball, we played good defense, Rodgers didn't turn the ball over. Like, we don't need to sling it all over the place. And so they didn't really add anyone for Rodgers. Meanwhile, Dak Prescott, who was the second best quarterback in fantasy last year, he was QB3 on a points per game basis, added CeeDee Lamb. I just don't think people that, you know, if you haven't watched a lot of Alabama football, like, CeeDee Lamb, along with Amari Cooper, along with Michael Gallup, along with Blake Jarwin, who's a nice tight end. You didn't get to see him as much last year because Witten was there, but Witten's gone. Like, so there's a lot of weapons for Dak, as you mentioned, a good offensive line. And, oh, by the way, you've got Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Like, so yep. For me, that's why. So adding CeeDee Lamb, who I think is an explosive playmaker, he's one of the leaders in terms of 20-yard-plus plays last year in college. So adding CeeDee Lamb to that offense, Dak goes up in my book. The fact that the Packers did absolutely nothing in the passing game to help out Aaron Rodgers, he goes down for me.
All right. Hey, Matthew, it is always great talking fantasy and talking sports with you. We appreciate you coming on. What do you want to promote for right now?
The Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. You know, it's part of the Disney Plus Hulu ESPN Plus bundle.
Great bundle.
I think it's the best deal on the internet right now. It is the best deal on the internet right now. And so we have a show off of the NFL draft. We have a lot of fun stuff there as well. So check out the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. And of course, as always, download the Fantasy Life app, which is free at fantasylifeapp.com.
All right. Thank you
Matthew.
Very much, Matthew. Appreciate it.
See ya.
All right. I want to get Michael Thompson on for just a minute here. We got JJ Redick coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, can't wait for Redick.
But it's National Wine Day. And when I think wine, I think Michael Thompson. So let's bring him on for a minute. Coming up next, if we can get him. I love his red wine, white wine conversation.
I talked to Michael today.
Which I think is classic. And we'll get his thoughts on the NBA coming back just for a quick call. And then JJ Redick at 4:30. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Isn't it amazing that even in, what are we, in May, we are talking NFL, particularly this year. By the way, Football Power Index numbers came out, and the Rams are at number 11. They also have the fifth hardest schedule in the league, according to ESPN's Football Power Index. So, but they are projected as just outside the playoffs by the Football Power Index at number 11. By the way, Tampa Bay only at number 9 in the Football Power Index.
9. All right, I'm assuming either Kansas City or Baltimore is 1, and the other one's 2?
Yes, they are 1-2. It is Baltimore. It's Kansas City 1, Baltimore 2.
Who's 3?
3 is...
Got to be an NFC team, right?
I almost got it here. 3 is San Francisco.
Yeah.
81% chance of making the playoffs. Who do you think's next?
Let's see.
NFC.
My guess is New Orleans. But...
New Orleans, 83%. Okay. Correct. Next is a surprise, and I don't agree with it.
AFC or NFC?
NFC.
Dallas?
Yes, Dallas at number 5. 69% chance of making the playoffs.
Only Philly. Because... Yeah, that division is not like... There's not like a lock to who's going to win that division. But what... Who are the other... So that's... What is Dallas, 4 or 5?
Dallas is 5. Philly is 6. Seattle is 7.
Seattle.
Tampa Bay, 8.
New England
is 9.
Oh, God.
Buffalo,
New England's way too high.
Buffalo, 10. And the Rams, 11. Rams have a 45% chance of making the playoffs, according to the Football Power Index. I think they're a 9 or 10 win team. 9 wins gets in now with the expanded playoffs. 9 wins gets in. Without question. And the Rams with the 5th toughest schedule in the league. They've got a lot of travel, as they always do. West Coast teams just get a ton of travel. That's just part of the deal. By the way, did you see the brand new official that they're trying to add to NFL games?
No, what?
The booth official, the upstairs official, that looks
time.
At all the replays in real time and decides what's what.
Yeah.
Finally, they're going to have access to all the stuff we have on TV to be able to make calls and overturn calls on a regular basis and try to get things right. It's about time.
Yeah, they should have done that. It's, you know, they botched the Nickell Robey Coleman play into too big of a rule, and now this is what they should have done the whole time. By the way, you know, we get J.J. Redick coming up in a few minutes.
Yeah,
have you ever
yeah.
heard J.J. Redick's podcast?
I have not listened to it, no. I hear it's good.
He is as good of a talker for a professional athlete as really anybody in any sport. We'll ask him. I don't know if he wants to. But if he wanted to be like a TNT guy,
yeah.
he's a lock.
Is he?
Yeah, I mean, he's like Jared Dudley. He's a, you know, by, matter of fact, he used to be teammates with Jared Dudley. Just really opinionated, well spoken, smart, comfortable talking about anything. And you know, he's part. One of the reasons we're having JJ on is he's part of that Blackball documentary on
yeah.
Quibi. About Donald Sterling, and we can get an answer to the question, how close were the Clippers ever to boycotting those games? Was it really even close, or did they say, screw Donald Sterling, we don't play for him anyway, and they were always going to play?
What was that year? He was there 13 through 16. What was the Donald Sterling year?
14. Yeah.
But he's part of that Quibi series. Have you watched the whole series?
No. Because I'm mad at Quibi for not letting me screen mirror to my big screen.
Yes.
You can only watch Quibi on your phone.
On your phone.
When Quibi,
exactly.
And they already have admitted they're going to do it. When Quibi starts to allow screen mirroring, then I'm in.
They should hurry their asses up.
Yeah,
all right, coming up next for you is J.J. Redick, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, what's going on? It's Tuesday. All kinds of good news in the world today. NBA moving towards a return. We've got Major League Baseball in negotiations. Finally, the owners have made an offer to the players. Players unhappy with it. We talked to Bob Nightingale a little while ago. He said he thinks they're going to work their way towards a deal. And he says 85-15 that baseball is back for the 4th of July. I hope that's the case. It would be a tremendous opportunity to showcase baseball at a time when people are hungry for any sport at all.
And remember that if you live in Los Angeles and you're like me and you've been a DirecTV subscriber for 7 years, you can watch the Dodgers this year. DirecTV now has the Dodger channel. So for, you know, Mace, for 6-7 years, 60% of the city couldn't see the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And now I think only 15% of the city can't see the Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
So the majority of the city can, and you get to see a, if you haven't heard Joe Davis do a game, he is a one of the bright star announcers in Major League Baseball. Him and Oral Hershiser are great together.
They kill it. Yeah, they're great.
Alana Rizzo, their sideline reporter, is a super smart bilingual.
Yep.
like
one of the best I've ever worked with. That
right.
whole team over there is they are fantastic. I got to be the guest host for a year over there, and John Hartung does a great job. Jerry Hairston Jr. is fantastic. Ned Colletti still does stuff there. Nomar does stuff there. It's a imagine a network for the Dodgers that is just as good as Spectrum is for the Lakers.
Yeah, a lot of this matter of fact, same executives operating out of the same building.
Yeah, yeah.
So
backstage Dodgers. I mean, all right. kinds of the same sorts of features. If you're a Dodger fan, you're going to absolutely love it.
Yeah, that's, you know, the biggest thing about the Dodgers not being on TV to me has always been that, what you just described, that they put together this killer TV network that
yep.
nobody could see.
Yeah.
So now you get, not only do you get the network with all the great ancillary programming, but you get to hear Joe Davis call the games, and he's super good.
Yep.
Super good. So that's good. All right, so we're awaiting J.J. Redick, and I mentioned earlier that J.J. has a podcast on the Ringer Network that is as good. You know, there are a lot of athletes that have podcasts. There's a great new podcast, Mace, that just started on the Ringer Network called Flying Coach.
Who's doing that one?
With Pete Carroll and Steve Kerr.
Oh, nice. Wow.
And they had Bill Murray on. So I listened to that one over the weekend.
That's a great lineup. Man.
Yeah, and we're going to have Steve Kerr on the show this week. So
tomorrow, right?
Yeah. So we'll be talking to Steve about that podcast. But JJ's podcast is the same way. He'll talk about, you know, pretty much anything, and brings on a lot of other NBA players. Just really good at it, and he's had a really interesting career. Remember that he was on the Orlando Magic team that the Lakers beat in the 2009 finals. So he played with Dwight Howard at the absolute peak of Dwight's powers.
Yeah, yeah,
when,
for sure.
You know, when he was like in the prime of his Hall of Fame career. Then he came to the Clippers and was part of Lob City when he played with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. And now JJ is in New Orleans playing with Zion and Brandon Ingram and Lonzo and, you know, Josh Hart and, you know, playing for Alvin Gentry. So he's played with some of the brightest stars in the galaxy and is generally known as one of the best spot-up shooters in the NBA. So it'll
yep.
be fun to talk to him.
All right, so while we're waiting for him, Mark Cuban has suggested a plan to the NBA league office that would include all 30 NBA teams playing 5 to 7 regular season games before a play-in tournament to determine the final 2 playoff seeds in each conference. So, in other words, everybody plays, including, and by the way, Steph Curry has been very vocal about wanting to go back and play. Even teams that don't have a shot at the playoffs, they play 5 to 7 games to finish the season. And then after those 5 to 7 games, which you could probably consider as tune-up games, games to sort of get back in the flow of things, there would be a 4-team playoff for each conference to determine the final 2 seedings, which would allow teams like New Orleans, who you just mentioned, and Zion Williamson, Damian Lillard, and Portland, a chance to get into that 7 or 8 slot in the Western Conference, Eastern Conference playoffs. What do you think of the plan?
I like it. I think that, you know, Adam Silver's going to have some tough decisions to make, and nobody knows exactly what he's going to do. But the thing I like about Mark Cuban's plan, if that one were to come to fruition, is it gives every NBA city their team back.
Yeah.
It gives basketball back to anybody who's missing it in whatever market you're in. And it gives, I mentioned this to you before, Mace, that it gives everybody a chance to hit their regional TV network number.
Yes,
you know,
which is
so
70,
that,
right?
Yeah, so that protects a lot of income. As you know, I'm biased here. I have a lot of friends that work for the TV networks, and so I want to see those guys get their livelihoods back. I think it'd be fun to see any type of a play-in tournament. I could actually understand either way. I can understand if they did a plan like Cuban's that gets every team involved, and I could understand if they did a plan where they just brought the 16 teams back because that kind of lessens the risk. You don't have as
right.
many players on the campus, so you can make a pretty good argument for either one, but I think it'd be fun. What do you think?
I love it. Cuban points this out, and I wouldn't have realized this. He says that there are only two teams in the Western Conference who would be mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, Minnesota postseason. And Golden State.
And in the Eastern Conference, the Cavs and Atlanta would have a hard time. They're four games behind 10th place Charlotte, but they'd be the only teams that they're technically not mathematically eliminated. But for all intents and purposes, only four teams don't have a shot at getting into the playoff, into that final four to get the final two seeds. So to me, it makes a lot of sense. It gets everybody involved. It gives everybody a stake, except fans, Minnesota, Golden State, Cleveland, and Atlanta. They're the only teams that are technically out of it. And again, it's all about drama right now. This is going to be a very different postseason. It's going to be a very different Major League Baseball season. We are really going to hang. We saw the ratings for the Last Dance, saw the ratings for the Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning event on Sunday. I think like 6 million people watched that, which is an incredible number. Highest rated golf event on cable in a very long time. And people are just hungry for something. By the way, did you watch the Lance Armstrong show?
I haven't yet, but I got it taped. Did you?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I'll say this.
I heard Lance, in Steve Mason fashion, the first 3 minutes has like 30 F-bombs in it.
He drops a lot of F-bombs right off the top. So if you've got a family, you may want to watch the cleaned up version on ESPN2 as opposed to the main version. The one thing I'll say about Lance Armstrong is he is a total effing jerk. You can tell. It's so weird that they've got this following up the Michael Jordan one, because I think in temperament, Lance Armstrong has the same temperament as Michael Jordan. It is win at all costs. I think at one point, John, he says if he doesn't win, it makes him physically ill. It makes him sick.
Right. Yeah, we've talked about that before.
That's how competitive he was.
Kobe's like that.
And Funch, do you have that one clip that I wanted to pull from the Lance Armstrong documentary? Okay, hit that.
I'm not going to lie to you, Marina. I'm going to tell you my truth.
What? Come on, man. That ain't right.
When I heard that, I'm like, I got to play that for Ireland.
Yeah,
I got to play that for Ireland.
There's no such thing as your truth, Lance. There's only the truth. All right, let's break and see if we can track down J.J. Redick. And then coming up at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock, Fast Track.
And at 5 o'clock, I'm going to tell my truth. I'm going to tell my truth.
Please don't.
During Fast Track today.
Oh, God.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday. It's a great day in Los Angeles. It is a great day as we are beginning to open everything up, as the world is opening up. We found out today that retail stores, according to the governor, can
now
open.
Hair salons. You going to go get your hair cut?
I'm not. I'm going to be the last guy to get his hair cut. I'm going to be the last guy to eat at a restaurant. I'm going to be the last guy to get his hair cut. I'm going to be the last guy, which is weird considering
you're normally first in on technology.
This is the opposite of technology, though. This is biology. I'm last on biology. I'm first on technology. We were talking about the Lance Armstrong thing. We'll see if J.J. Redick.
Hey, let me ask you a question about that Lance Armstrong thing.
Yeah.
You mentioned that he's like an absolute jerk. Okay.
The worst. The worst.
Okay. So Michael Jordan, people have said the same thing. Tiger Woods, people have said the same thing.
Yep.
Do you think being the best at something, being the undisputed king of whatever your world is, that those two things are intrinsically linked? In other words, because you're uncompromising, you would in turn naturally be a jerk. Do you think you have to be a little bit of a jerk to be the best at something?
I believe that you do. I believe it is required. I believe that's what has made Tiger Woods great, kind of a jerk. That's what has made, that's what made Steve Jobs great, kind of a jerk. That's what made Lance Armstrong great, kind of a jerk. I think it's really hard to be a nice guy and to finish first.
Not impossible, though.
Give me an example. Nice guy finishing first.
Vin Scully.
Yeah, that's a fair one. That's a fair one.
Yeah, but you know what? It's harder to be honest. I'm going to argue against myself here. It's harder to come up with examples of what you just asked me than it is to come up with examples of guys who are jerks. There are more people that are the best at something because they're naturally uncompromising. Like Kobe was uncompromising.
Yes.
Absolutely uncompromising. And that's what made him great. He just refused to, you know, and so if...
Well,
if
John, I'm not proud of this, but you know how insanely uncompromising I was at the beginning of my career. You worked with me when I was like...
Yeah.
When I was... I was a bit crazy. And
Howard Stern would say the same thing. Howard Stern would say in the beginning of his career, he just didn't care who he stepped on.
It's like I was a jackass until I didn't have to be anymore. That's basically what happened. Like,
right.
Once you reach a certain point, you can be a nice guy. You can be a big, magnanimous guy. But to get there, you've got to be a jerk. The thing about Lance Armstrong is it does put into context. So
I thought of another one. Nice guy who has made it to the top.
Yep.
At least I think he's a nice guy. Pete Carroll. Isn't Pete Carroll genuinely a nice guy?
I don't know. You think he cheated.
Well, I think he knew Reggie Bush got a house. But I also think that a lot of other players he was playing against got stuff, too. I just think you're being naive when you say he didn't know anything.
Right. But you're saying he knows about cheating in his program, so he is willing to allow that.
I think there's cheating in every program in college football. Every single one.
Yeah.
Can you think of one where there isn't?
Well, I mean, there's obviously lots of them where it isn't demonstrated.
Right.
Here's the thing I was going to say about Lance Armstrong. He's a jerk. He is self-obsessed. He is ridiculously competitive to a fault. He is cocky. He's got a swagger to him. You can see it throughout these interviews. He's clearly trying to shape a narrative for himself, and they're trying not to let him do it. But in that 1999 Tour de France, which was his first win. I'm pretty sure that was his first win. There is no way you could win the Tour de France without cheating.
Right.
EPO was so widespread, which is an increase in red blood cells that allow you to absorb more oxygen. EPO was so widespread that everybody was doing it, and Lance just happened to ultimately get caught with it. But there's no way you win the Tour de France without cheating at that time.
Yeah, and that was his point, that everybody was just, you know, there was no way to compete. It was similar to the baseball home run derby in 1998, that, you know, Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were north of 60 home runs for a reason. Nobody else could compete with them, and so it made it different. Hey, can I get serious for a second? Did you see?
Okay.
Okay, so this will be, it'll be quick. Chris Dufresne, who was a football writer at the L.A. Times, he used to deliver the L.A. Times when he was a kid, and he ended up working for him. He was on our show many, many times. He had an asthma problem, so the pandemic was especially dangerous for him, and he passed away today. It was a huge surprise. He left the Times in 2015, but his dad worked for the Times. He worked for the Times. He was there for 20 years. I just want to give a hail fellow well met to Chris Dufresne, who and his final column, Mace, he wrote about the fact that it was going to be very hard for him to go back into press boxes with this pandemic. that it just he didn't know if he was going to be able to do it too or not. And he died suddenly and unexpectedly earlier today.
Now, the Times says he had been awaiting the results for what appeared to be a late-stage melanoma recurrence.
Yeah. And
but he was only 62, man. 62.
But a really, really good writer. He went to Cal State Fullerton. And so shout out to Chris Dufresne, and our hearts go out to his family. He has three boys, and I know that a lot of people that we know that are from the sports writing world are in shock.
Yeah.
Because like you said,
it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and it was only he's 62. I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right, let's pivot back to the NFL real quick. Stephen Ross from the Miami Dolphins, owner of the Dolphins, appeared on CNBC today, and this is what he said about the NFL season.
I think there definitely will be a football season this year. The real question is, will there be fans in the stadiums? I think right now today we're planning on having fans in the stadiums. But I think the NFL is looking at and is very flexible so that we will be able to start on time and really, you know, bring that entertainment that's really so needed to all of us in this country. I mean, I think there's one thing that we, you know, we miss is our sports. And I don't think a lot of people realize it until they no longer have it. But certainly the NFL, I think, will be ready to go. And I think we're all looking forward to it. I know I am. We've done a lot of things down in Miami here, and we're prepared either way. And hopefully there'll be fans in the stadiums.
All right, let me ask you something about this.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier in the show that you've already purchased your tickets for – you've been a Rams season ticket holder since they moved back to L.A.
I have a personal seat license, two of them.
Do you honestly think – you know, like I put you on a lie detector – what do you honestly believe? Will you be in the stands at SoFi in the fall?
You know, I'm being super cautious with everything. I'm going to see my mom for her birthday on June the 13th, and I kind of want to stay clean. I want to stay clean till then. I don't want to get in the have the potential to pass it to her, so I'm being really careful. And I've said I will be the last guy to go into a restaurant, the last guy to get his hair cut, all that stuff. That's the one thing I might do. If it's far enough in the future.
Right, but do you believe it's going – I think it's a coin flip whether or not they have fans. I really do. Well, nobody knows what the world's going to look like in 3 months. But the one thing we know about the NHL and the NBA is no fans, at least for now.
But the NFL has the time on its side. Their season doesn't start for 3.5 months.
Right.
Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL are all going to start probably, you know, within a month or a month and a half. You know, there's some perspective, you know, if baseball is serious about a June 10 spring training, that's coming up in 2 weeks. But definitely a spring training in June. The NFL has got 3.5 months to wait and see how it plays out. And we don't know what the world's going to look like in 3.5 months. So I would say it is 50-50. And if I was given the opportunity to go to the very first game at SoFi Stadium, and I knew I had to wear a mask, and there was some social distancing involved, I would probably do it. But again, I don't know what the world is going to look like in 3.5 months. The NFL has got the clock on its side. It's the last one to start. And that's been to the benefit of the NFL all along because they've kept to their normal schedule of things. As always, the NFL has remained top of mind. And the one thing that everybody was talking about during this entire pandemic, the NFL has never shied away from anything. So when they say there could be fans, I think there's a reasonable chance that there could be fans by then.
Hope so. We need to get to some normalcy around here.
Yes, we do. And we're getting there. Today, the governor opened retail stores. You know, it's happening. Restaurants are already open. Are they open with social distancing?
Some, but I, you know, not in LA County, right? LA County hasn't opened the restaurants yet.
Well, L.A. County, I think, has opened governor has opened hair salons.
Yeah, but not in L.A. County. The county has the final word. So we got to wait. Now that Gavin Newsom's given the green light, the county has to do it. And Eric Garcetti has to do it. So we're waiting on those dudes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that it all goes that direction. All right, coming up next for you is 5 o'clock Fast Track, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.